And here at VCF, of course, we don't pass anything for our offering, but we do have a container where you can put your offerings and tithes in the back. So, Father, I declare that every gift and every giver is blessed by you. Because, Father, to give is to invest into your kingdom. And, Lord, you receive everything that we do here in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that your blessing will be upon everyone that participates in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. And the women are meeting. Are they going to be meeting the second Saturday? So, ladies, come to Woven on the second Saturday right here at 10 a.m. It'll be a great time. If you're a woman of victory enjoying new life. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I would like you to go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I'm very excited about what God is going to teach us tonight. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord has done for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Say, I'm in a different kingdom. And when you're in a kingdom, what is the focal point of the kingdom? The king, all right? And we have a king, his name is Jesus. He rules and reigns. And the way a king rules is they have a special place where every decree is made, where judgments are decided. It represents his authority, it represents his power, and it represents his glory. You know what that is? What signifies a king? A throne, all right? And tonight we want to talk about the throne of God. Amen? Jesus is on the throne, and he's not getting off the throne. He's going to be there forever and ever and ever. He's going to be the king that rules and reigns. And he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, my decrees, my judgments, my commandments will never pass away. And the throne is basically the chair of a king. All right? It's the symbol of a royal government. This is according to Nelson's Bible Dictionary. It represents his royal authority, especially to act as a judge. Amen? And God's throne is usually elevated. And it's a symbol of dignity. And when people made thrones, they used very costly material, all right? In other words, thrones weren't cheap. They were expensive. And it's the supreme symbol of power and dignity. That's according to New Unger's Dictionary. And so we're going to learn some things about God's throne, all right? I'm going to give you what we're going to go over, and then we'll get into the scriptures. Number one, we're going to learn that the throne's foundation is righteousness and justice. Aren't you glad that God's throne is on a solid, firm foundation? It represents both righteousness. Our God is the epitome, is the example of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But there's the other side of God's throne, and that's justice. How many know that, you know, God hates evil? And when evil continues and continues and continues, and it doesn't stop and it doesn't change, God will judge it. Amen? But he always puts forth mercy before judgment comes. So if God's about to judge a place, there's always going to be mercy going forth first. And then we're going to learn that the throne is where the king sits. Hallelujah. And you know what? You can know the king. You can come before his throne and you can have a discussion with the king, the creator of the universe. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, the work on the cross and his resurrection, he gave us access to the Father. And we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And you can obtain mercy and you can find grace when you need it. How many need grace? So where are you going to find grace? You get it at Walmart? You're going to find it at the throne. And every believer in Christ Jesus who's accepted Jesus as their Lord, you have been given, you can go in before God's throne and you can discuss things with the Almighty. You don't need an appointment. He's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, anytime you need it. We're going to see how the throne of God is in heaven. God's throne is in heaven. Amen? And aren't you glad through Jesus Christ, you're connected to heaven? You have a divine connection to heaven. All of heaven's power, all of heaven's blessing is yours because of what Jesus Christ has done. So we're going to get into that. We're going to see how the throne is where decisions and judgments are made, and the authority of the kingdom is decreed, established, and carried out. See, back where places that have kings, whatever the king said was law, right? And if you disobeyed what the king said, you'd be breaking the law. Well, the same is true. God's a king, and what he says is true. Amen? And what he says we can do, and we better follow through. And we're going to see how the throne of God is forever. This is not some passing thing, but God established it forever and ever and ever. His throne is not going to diminish in power. His throne is not going to lose authority. His throne is not going to become tarnished. The glory is not going to diminish. It's going to go forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And then we're going to learn is where it's the throne of God where we worship and pray. When you pray, you need to focus on something. You should focus on the throne because the throne represents God's authority. It represents his majesty. Amen? Turn with me to Psalm chapter 89, and let's get into this. Now, next week, I probably spoiled some of you by having a PowerPoint, and I'll plan to have one next week. I spent too much time studying, and I didn't get to make a PowerPoint. So Psalm 89, God's throne is established in righteousness and justice. I want you to look at verse 13, Psalm 89, verse 13. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Anytime the Bible talks about the right hand, it's speaking of the authority of God. All right? When people would receive a blessing, they'd put the right hand on it. Then he says in verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of your throne. Mercy and truth shall go before your face. So God's throne is established in justice and judgment, righteousness and justice. All right? By his throne, God makes things right. Whenever you had a disagreement, remember the story of the two women when Solomon became king? And they had a baby, and one of the ladies rolled over in her sleep and killed one of the babies, so the other lady took the other baby. And they were arguing which baby it was. Well, where did they solve that dispute? They went before the throne. And there Solomon sat on the throne, and God's wisdom was operating, and God gave him a solution. He threatened to cut the baby in half, and he knew that the true mother wouldn't want that to happen. And the one lady said, yes, go ahead and do that. The other one said, no, don't do that. He knew who the real mother was. But that judgment took place at the throne. See, God's throne, it's established in righteousness. You know, God expects us to do what's right in his sight, doesn't he? And God doesn't lower his standard for anyone. He expects us, and through Jesus Christ, we can be made righteous. Abraham believed God, and what? It was accounted unto him for righteousness. In other words, he was made righteous because he put faith in God. But on the other side of God's throne is the judgment side. When we all finish our life, we are all going to stand before God's throne. It's called the throne of the judgment seat of Christ. And there, he's going to judge us. But see, the only one qualified to judge us is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who knows men's hearts. But we're going to be judged for our works, what we did with what he gave us or what he called us to do. Amen? And so you're here at VCF tonight to get trained so that when you face the judgment seat of Christ, you won't have to be worried or afraid. Amen? Because you're going to get the word and you can put into practice God's word. Go with me to Psalm 97. I'm just going to take my time with these, all right? I'm not going to go from one point too quickly because I want this to get in us. Because when you leave tonight, I want you to have a different perspective of God's throne. See, because we are beneficiaries of God's throne. Every judgment, every decree, everything that God set up. See, I can just see God now. When he created the world, you know how he did it? God was sitting in his throne. And all he had to do was speak. And there was so much power and so much authority. He said, light be. And the minute that king spoke, all of a sudden creation started to respond to what he said. God was sitting on his throne making decrees. Because that's how a king operates. Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns. Everybody say, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Now notice verse 2. Clouds and darkness are around him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. That word habitation also means foundation. And if you've ever read a description of the throne, you know, the Bible's pretty descriptive. I mean, the throne is a happening place. There's lightnings, there's thunders, there's voices, there's cherubim, there's seraphim, there's angels, there's elders, there's a crystal sea. There's all kinds of things that are happening around God's throne. Because it's the center of activity for a believer's life. Do you realize that we can take the word of the king, we can apply it to our lives, and we can do it, we can carry it out, because the king wants to be involved in your life. The king wants an active role in every decision that you make. Now, he's not so concerned about the little decisions, but the big decisions. You know, he's not going to say, I want you to eat this tomorrow. You know, he pretty much leaves that decision up to you. Right? Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Every student in the throne class should shine. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 12. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. Now notice, he said kings, didn't he? Say, I'm a king. I'm a priest of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to carry yourself like a king or a queen. He wants you to remind yourself that you are royalty. You're divine royalty. Because you've got the blood of a champion in you. Say, I'm royalty. And God made you to be a king and a priest in his kingdom. All right? So it's an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. You know, God doesn't want us to violate his word. His word, if God ever lied, if he ever told one little lie, the world that we know it would cease to exist. Because it would not, it's God's word that holds this world up. God's word is the framework upon which this, see, behind these walls, there's a frame. And the frame holds this building up. Without that frame, you know, without your skeleton, think about it, you'd be like a jelly person. You ever see those air inflatable things where they keep going like this? That's how you'd be without a structure. All right? Structure is good. And I want you to notice that, see, God doesn't like when we don't do what he says. Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Let's start with verse 1. These are also the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is it to search out a matter. As a king, you need to search out godly matters. Amen? Seek and you what? You shall find. Knock and what? The door will be open. Ask and what? So it's an honor of kings to search out a matter. Okay? The heaven for height, the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. How do they remove dross from silver? It requires another thing. Huh? Fire or heat. Amen? And how many know that the Holy Ghost is the heat that God gives us? And he applies the heat to us. And see, the dross of the silver, it devalues the silver. You've got to remove the dross. And once you remove the dross, something better, something brighter, something more brilliant is left in its place. And thank God for the fire of the Holy Ghost to remove the dross from our lives. The unnecessary, the ugly, the wicked and the twisted and the perverted. And God applies the heat, but when we go through the fire, we come out better than what we were. Because notice verse 5. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. You think God's trying to tell us something here? He wants his throne established in righteousness. He wants people who are loyal to the throne to walk in righteousness. Amen? Do you realize that everyone who puts their trust in Jesus Christ is a new creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become what? Notice they become new. How do they become new? You walk by faith and not by sight. Every day, every opportunity in those days, you walk with God and things become newer and newer and newer. You get more knowledge of God. You get more understanding of the things of his kingdom, and you're better to operate in them. So he doesn't want wicked. See, wickedness and kings are like oil and water. They don't mix. Amen? Go to Proverbs chapter 20. I like this one, verse 28. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Have we gotten mercy from the Lord? And what are we to do with the mercy that we've received? We're to show mercy to others, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Inherit the kingdom of God. So, and it's all based on in conjunction with the throne. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Look at verse 14. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. What does it mean to faithfully judge the poor? When a poor person comes to you, you come in contact with a poor person, and they need help. Maybe they need food. Maybe they need clothes. Maybe they need money. Maybe they need something. And you have the ability within yourself to help them, right? So when you judge the poor, it's going to establish the throne. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. And we know from another scripture, the Bible says, when you give to the poor, you're really lending to the Lord, right? Isn't the gospel, didn't Jesus make the gospel? He's anointed to preach the gospel to who? The poor. Someone who is poor simply means they're missing something. And God leads them to where what they're missing can be found. And so when we're rightly judging the poor, then God's going to establish his throne. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. I just want you to see how that God's throne is established in righteousness and justice. God does what is right. God does what is just. No one can ever stand before God and say, God, you weren't fair. No one. But God, I never heard your gospel. Then he made creation. The heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. No one is going to be able to stand before God and say, God, you weren't fair. Because God is just and God is righteous. And that's the very foundation of his throne. That's how God's authority is carried out in righteousness and justice. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. You know what? God wants to establish you in your life. When you're abiding by the decrees that he makes at his throne. And God is so gracious, we don't have to find out what he says. We can go look for it right here. Of his kingdom, there'll be no end. Okay? And he's going to establish order. He's going to establish you. How many know, before Christ, we were shaky, we were flaky, and we were quaky, right? Now, we were those things to varying degrees, okay? But when you came to Christ, he started to establish you. Part of establishing you is planting you by the living water. A tree that's planted is established, and it begins to grow where it's planted because it's established. See, when God establishes you, that means when circumstances come at your way, you will not be moved because you're established. You're rooted and grounded. Ephesians tells us we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in his love. Every electrical appliance has a ground, doesn't it, electricians? And when it's not grounded properly, does the appliance work? See, when we're not grounded, things aren't going to work like they should in our life. Amen? And we've got to be grounded in God's word. And God will bring order to your life. He makes order out of chaos. Some of our lives before Christ, they were chaotic. They were anarchic, but I don't know if that's a word. Anarchy. But we were crazy. Think about the man from Gadara. He was possessed with a legion of demons. He hung out in the tombs. He cut himself. You know people that cut himself? People that cut themselves, they're being motivated by a devil, by a demon. His life was crazy. He'd break chains. He'd run around naked until he met Jesus. Jesus happened to show up in his area one day. And this possessed man, I found this very interesting. This possessed man who was possessed with all these devils, what was his first thing he did when he saw Jesus? He went and worshiped him. He must have been trying to get free, but he didn't know how. But this possessed man, I find it amazing how a possessed man worshiped God, and people who aren't possessed have trouble doing it. That's a thought, isn't it? So my point is, his life was chaotic, his life was crazy, and he met Jesus. Well, all of a sudden now, he's in his right mind. He's got clothes on, and he wanted to follow Jesus, but God said, no, I want you to go and tell your story. Christ established him. He established him in truth. He established him in freedom, and he sent him out with a purpose. And do you know that that man prepared Jesus' return to that area? You know who probably heard that story? If you read it closely, that was in Decapolis. Jairus was in that area. When Jesus went back to that area, it's amazing how Jairus came to Jesus when he had trouble, because he must have heard this possessed. Everybody knew this crazy man. He was the crazy man of Palmyra who went around naked, yelling and screaming and carrying on until he met Jesus. And everybody who met him saw the change in his life. Because now God brought order. God established him. God brought him into the kingdom. See, God wants to bring people into the kingdom so that he can establish them. So that he can connect them with his throne. Go to Isaiah 16. Isaiah 16. And let's look at verse 1. Send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land, from Selah to the wilderness unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arun. Take counsel, execute judgment, make your shadow as the mite in the midst of the noonday, hide the outcasts, bewray not him that wanders. Let mine outcast dwell with you, Moab, be a be a covert to them, that's a shelter, from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceases and the oppressors are consumed out of the land. And in mercy shall the throne be established. And he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness or prompting righteousness. So can we see that God establishes his throne in righteousness and justice? All right? God's going to do what is right. He doesn't do what is popular. God does what is just. All right? He's fair. He is the only one that can judge fairly. Okay? Let's go to our second point. Our God sits on the throne. When you sit on the throne, you're taking a position of rest. And you're resting in him. Amen? How many could use some extra rest from the busyness of life? Well, you know, you just have to go and hang out at the throne. You get a free suntan. And you won't get burned. Because you'll experience the glory of God, which is at his throne. Okay? So go to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. We need to get in touch with God's glory. Amen? Sometimes we just need a touch of his glory. You know, when people would experience God's glory, you know, I think of when Solomon dedicated the temple. And he prayed, and there was 120 singers. They were all singing it as one voice. And all of a sudden, the glory of God came into the temple, and the priest couldn't even stand to minister. Lord, we need some moments where your glory just comes in here and takes over. Say, I'm yielded to God's glory. Say, when God's glory comes in, I'm ready to move. And do whatever God wants me to do. That might even mean just laying on the floor. Amen? You know, after all, we're holy rollers, right? We got to do some rolling around sometimes. Psalm 47. Look at verse 8. Well, let's go back to verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Why don't we say that? Say, God, you're the King of all the earth. And sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the heathen or the nations. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God, of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Listen, let's not get so nervous about what's happening in our earth. God is the king of this earth. And those who allow him to rule and reign, he rules and reigns. And he can move on your behalf. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. When you choose to believe God, when you choose to accept what he says by faith, nothing can stop you. But he sits on his throne in holiness. God's not nervous about your future, so why should you be? I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know the one who does. If you need insight, you can get it from him. Amen? I don't care what this person does or that person does. Because I have an understanding and I know that my God is ruling and reigning. And we've got to walk in that confidence. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, right? So when you walk into a charged situation, you can actually, you have the power within you to change that atmosphere. You can tell the devil to sit down and shut up. I like what Lester Summerall said one time. He had, you know, he had this big ship, this ocean vessel, and he would take food and medical, and he was going to some war-torn part of the world, and he said this, we're going to go and tell the devil to sit down, to shut up and quit fighting. Because he understood who he was in Christ Jesus. You are a child of the King. But so many times we don't act like we're princes and princesses of God. Amen? We walk with our head hung down, like we're defeated. Woe is me. I'm having a rough time. Got to be careful. You don't want to let the spirit of Eeyore get on you. If you're going to let the spirit of Tigger get on you, if anything. Amen? Sometimes we need to bounce around a little bit. Go to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. He says this in verse 13. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. So there he is, both the king and the priest. You know, we have a great high priest. But I want you to picture Jesus sitting on the throne of your life. Fearless. Worry-free. Carefree. Why? Because you should be casting your cares to him. Anytime life gives you a care, cash it in. Amen? What do I mean by that? Cast your cares unto him. Free yourself up of that care. Decide, say, I'm not going to be bogged down with worry and care about this thing. And put it into God's hands and trust him to work it out. And watch what he does. Now, you've got to walk like a king. If you want to change your circumstance, what is the best way, the most simplest way to change your circumstance? I can see ideas running through your mind, so let me give you a clue. Speak to it. When a king sits on his throne, and if the king decides that he's going to make a treaty with another nation, he simply sits on his throne in his authority and he simply speaks what he wants. Amen? And having an understanding of his throne is going to help us do that. Because he's sitting on his throne. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We'll just start with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. See, don't try to save the earth. We're going to get a new one anyway. Amen? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. Oh, that's going to be interesting. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. God's meeting tent is with you. Praise God. Anytime you want to meet with God, you can. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Notice, he didn't get down and make paper mache. He simply sat on the throne and said, I make all things new. And his words, because when you're operating under the authority of God, you're operating and you have the same authority that Jesus has. Are you a joint heir? What does it mean to be a joint heir? To sit beside him in the heavenly places, right? To get what he gets, right? To have the same benefits, the same blessings. So he sat on his throne and he said, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Many a book has been written when God said, write. What has God told you to write? If it's worth living, it's worth recording. Amen? I bet there's some things we need to write goals, don't we? We need to write promises that God has spoken to us, prophecies that God has given to us. If you can't remember it in here, write it on a piece of paper and put it somewhere where you know that where that paper is. So he's telling John to write these things, for they're true and faithful. Verse 6, he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Anybody thirsty tonight? I've got a fountain of life for you that you can drink from freely. Everybody say freely. Oh, I'm telling you what, when you know the King, you're connected. Amen? Who's he going to give to drink freely? What type of person? Thirsty. All you got to be is thirsty and God will give you something to drink. And you'll drink freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I like that. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those are people who never changed. Those are people who never allowed God to change them or to change their ways. They're talking about people that were consistent, living this lifestyle as a habit. How many know the closer you get to God, you are constantly changing? Because you're being transformed and conformed to his image and to his likeness. And the more you go with God, God's always changing something. But thank God that we have that ability to change. Go with me to Revelation 3:21, then I'm going to close. Well, we're going to read Revelation 3:21 and Revelation 4. I got to leave you with a good picture. Notice this. Revelation 3:21. Who's he talking to? He's talking to church. Are you the church? Say, he's talking to me. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me, where? In my throne. Wow. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So to overcome means you do what God called you to do. Because when God calls you to do something, you're going to face challenges. You're going to face trials and tests. And you're going to have opportunities to quit. You're going to have opportunities to give up. But to those who overcome, to those who are more than conquerors, to those who press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, God's going to grant to you to sit with him on his throne. What a benefit. Do you see yourself on that throne now? Because Ephesians tells us he seated us with Christ in heavenly places. He made us. He made you to sit together with him in heavenly places. Where do you think that is? That's talking about his throne, because his throne is in heaven. Okay. Revelation 4, and then we're going to close. Verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Woo, I love it when God opens doors. Behind door number 1, there are good things. Behind door number 2, there are good things. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. Have you ever had a conversation with a trumpet? It was so loud. It was so boisterous. It was like someone blowing on a trumpet. And it was talking with me. How cool is that? Which said, come up here. God is inviting us tonight to come higher. Let's get higher than we've ever. You want to take a trip to the penthouse? That's, if you're in a skyscraper, that's the top. That's the best. That's the nicest. Amen? If you ever go to Trump Towers, he lives in the penthouse. He lives in the top. He lives in the best place. And God is saying, come up higher. Come up here. How many want to go up there? He's giving you an invitation tonight to come. And I will show you things which must be hereafter. I'm going to show you things to come. Isn't it the Holy Spirit's job to show you things to come? But see, if you want to be shown things to come, you've got to come hither. You've got to come and you've got to respond to his invitation. Amen? And immediately, I was in the Spirit. John made a decision that he was going to come, and he took one step and, ooh, he was in the Spirit. What does that mean? He had no knowledge or recollection of what was happening around him. He was in the Spirit realm because he decided to respond to the invitation to come. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, a sardine stone. So when you shine light on stones, it reflects. All right? Some of you ladies, look at your diamonds in the light, and it reflects the light. It sparkles. Okay? And there was a rainbow round about the throne to remind God of his covenant that he made with Noah. A rainbow. A sight like an emerald, a green rainbow. How cool is that? And round about the throne, see, God is a family man. He wants his kids around his throne. He wants his kids to be comfortable with his throne. He wants his kids to be able to approach his throne. He wants his kids to hang out at his throne. Round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Are you getting your crowns? And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. It was not quiet. If you've ever heard thunderings, thundering is like God bowling. Lightnings, flashes of light, and a rainbow, and voices. Not just one, voices. Everybody carrying on the conversation. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And really, it's the sevenfold spirit. There's not seven spirits. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of might, spirit of revelation, spirit of understanding. If you read Isaiah 11, you can find out these seven spirit things. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. Now, when you got crystal in your house, you don't want anybody to play on it. But God's got crystal before his throne. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The eyes have it. The first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face like a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. They all represent the Gospels too. It's just one part of that. The four beasts each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, they were talking, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, is, and is to come." They never got tired of praising God. They never got tired of declaring his holiness. They never got tired. He is to come. He's the past, present, and the future. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the whole enchilada. Are you getting excited about the throne? Because I can barely contain myself. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. But I tell you what, you talk about a worship service. You got beasts singing. You got creatures flying. You got crystals glistening. You got jewels shining. You got fire burning. You got thunders and lightnings and voices happening all at the same time. And they're just praising the Lord. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are created. Let me tell you something. God created you for his pleasure. Don't let anybody tell you different. And they were just having a time before the throne of God. Well, I think we need to have a time before the throne of God. There's healing at his throne. Because on the throne sits the great physician. He created you, and he can repair you. He can fix you. If something's broken, he can fix it. If something's missing, he can make it. So I want you to come hither. Whatever that means to you. I want you to come before God's throne. I want you to make a decisive act to worship God at his throne. I don't want you to hold back. I want you to worship God like you've never worshiped him before. And if you can't move that good, you can just do it from your seat. Because the 24 elders had seats. Amen? So you don't have to stand up. If you don't want to, that's okay. But if you can stand up, stand up. Let's give God praise. Let's come before his throne boldly, with confidence, knowing what Jesus Christ has done for us. And I believe that God is going to transform you as you come before his throne. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We bless the Lamb of God. We worship before your throne. We cast our crowns at your feet, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy, O Lord God. Oh, bless your holy name. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you glory and honor and praise, Lord. We're coming before your throne because we want your glory. We want to honor you. We want your goodness. We want your presence. Oh, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we come because we're thirsty. We want to drink from the fountain of life. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your holy name. Praise your holy name forevermore. Praise your holy name forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Father. I take authority of this jaw in the name of Jesus. And I speak life. I release the power of the blessing of the Lord God Almighty. And I thank you, Lord, that there's power. There's power in the name of Jesus to bring life to this jaw and to remove all pain and hurt in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that there's power working in her mightily right now in Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I just declare a quick recovery, quicker than expected. Lord, I thank you that life is coming to this operation, to the surgery, Lord. And you're making repairs, and you're bringing life and strength to him in Jesus' name. Oh, Rabaka Sanda Labaka 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 Sanda Labaka. Oh, I tell you what, we serve a living God. He's full of life. He's full of joy. Hallelujah. We can express ourselves to God in the name of Jesus. You can cry out. Hallelujah. Oh, for he is good and greatly to be praised. Lift up your voice. Young and old, especially young people, you need to get in tune with God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy.